This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
That is Pat McAfee reportedly reading a text from one Travis Kelce this morning on his show.
We have a bit of an update to that as well. The New Heights podcast, you know, it is hosted by Travis Kelce and his brother Jason Kelce. They release episodes every Tuesday. They just tweeted. There's a video of from a clip from The Wolf of Wall Street where Jordan Belfort is standing up in front of his staff. And he says, "I ain't going blanking nowhere." And the New Heights podcast took the time to superimpose the face of Travis Kelce onto Jordan Belfort and post that clip as a tease to their episode next week. I think we will hear it from the horse's mouth next Tuesday that Travis Kelce will be returning.
You know, that's actually pretty smart.
Next season.
I was wondering earlier when we were talking about this in the 2 o'clock hour, why are we hearing about this from Pat McAfee in an alleged text from Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes? That's super smart marketing. Save it for next Tuesday. People will tune in to hear it on their podcast. They're not dumb.
Oh, yeah.
These brothers are not dumb.
No, they are not. Doing. We're just happy he's coming back.
You're 13.
Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce. This is from NBC News. It is making national news today. Is set to return for a 13th season in 2025, ending speculation that the 35-year-old might retire. The news was confirmed on social media. Basically, Sam, from what you were just saying, earlier on Thursday, we just heard Pat McAfee say this. Kelce told ESPN's Pat McAfee he was, quote, coming back for sure. Let's see if there's anything else in here we don't already know. He is in the final year of a 2-year deal that he signed in 2024. We knew that. Okay.
Boom. Yep.
How cruel would it be if on Tuesday he goes, "Yeah, I'm retiring"?
Well,
I mean, glad y'all came to hear what I had to say. I'm out.
Liam Payne, the now deceased member of One Direction, remember he was found, I believe it was in Argentina, after a fall from a hotel balcony, had a blood alcohol content of 0.27% at the time of his passing. So that is more than three times the legal limit in the United States. Alcohol was not all that was in his system when he died on October 16th at the age of 31.
Too bad. My God, he's so young.
0.4 is the 0.3
to 0.4. That's the dead number, isn't it?
You get into the fatality range. 0.4, you will not survive.
But if he was only at 0.27, I mean, that is not fatal alcohol poisoning. I mean, you're drunk. Don't get me wrong. You're drunk.
Yeah.
But you're not. You're probably not dying from that.
There were investigations into the potential drug dealer who was giving him the other substances that were found inside that hotel room. A number of other things that were believed to have gone on prior to him.
Yeah, but they dropped those charges, right? I thought the charges against the hotel worker and his friend were dropped 2 weeks ago. I think they were dropped 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken.
Never mind.
Story here from CBS News, because I'm a nerd like this. Seven planets are aligning in the night sky this week, creating a brief chance to see a planetary parade. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus.
Bringing up the rear.
Out.
Oh, my.
Out.
So it's going to be big enough, we'll see it in the night sky.
Yeah, Uranus will be big enough, you'll be able to see it up there.
Well, not if there's a full moon.
Anyway,
all right.
I digress. Go
You're
ahead.
Out now, too. It's Dan in my show for the rest of the hour. Out. Mercury, Venus. Can we change the name of that planet?
I agree.
Why?
Keep reading.
Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, and Uranus will all be visible with clear skies, but not all can be seen by the naked eye, according to space.com and other sites that track these sorts of events. So
why did you have to say naked eye?
And why do you over-enunciate the ur in Uranus? One word, Uranus.
You know, Scott,
I'm an expert in diction.
I'm not much of an astrologer. And I have never, I don't know that I've ever gone out to look up.
Or maybe an astronomer.
Right. That thing too.
I mean, because Pisces is not going to be up there.
It might be. I have never done any astronomy things except the one time you and I bought those ridiculous glasses and looked up at the eclipse, which I'm going to be honest, was very underwhelming.
I thought Dan, I thought that was kind of nice. You and I watched it together as well.
Yeah, it was great.
Got dark here for about a minute.
It's fun.
But
I mean, the really good one was a few years ago.
Yeah.
The more recent one was
pretty
cool.
If they're all going to be lined up and I can just go outside on my balcony and look up and see all the dots in the sky, I will do that.
Well, you should be able to see all of them except Uranus.
Right. The first seven that you mentioned.
Need a mirror for that one.
Yep. Yeah, you're going to need a mirror.
Oh, my God. Really?
Do you know where the name comes from?
No, Dan. I don't know that I want to, Dan.
Well, it's the ancient Greek deity of the sky.
Oh.
Uranus. Uranus?
No, how it's Uranus.
Let's see. Orsanos. Something like that.
Okay.
That's where it comes from.
Dan, tell us more.
No, don't. We're good.
No, we're good.
Known as Kallus in Roman mythology, the father of Kronos, grandfather of Zeus, and the great-grandfather of Ares.
And, ladies and gentlemen, thank you to Encyclopedia Britannica.
I just love that name.
For the best chance, a spectator should look at the sky as soon as the sun sets. That is when the planets will make a brief appearance.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, did anyone look up last night on your way home? It was
gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like the sky was on fire.
It was pink and orange and then a little bit of purple. And by the time I got home and into a safe space to take a photo, I wasn't high enough to see it anymore. Or wait, the sun was low. Whatever that means. The angles were all off.
You weren't high enough?
The angles were not conducive to taking a photo.
What were we smoking, Dan?
When I left here, I think we're at a higher point.
Was it a double rainbow?
I could see it. And then as I got closer to home, I was like, no, it's going down.
That would be because the sun went down further.
Whatever. It was gorgeous. Oh, I thought I was just elevated here.
Nope.
Anyway, it was gorgeous.
The earth turns.
I told you I'm not much of an astronomer.
Or an astrologer.
Right. Good talk.
Is Capricorn up there?
It was stunning.
It was a beautiful sunrise last night, or sunset last night. Which direction are we supposed to look? I think this is tomorrow.
Up.
Damn it! It says here, Tokyo started seeing it a week ago. It'll be best in the worldwide tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, just as the sun goes down, look.
To the south.
To the south. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
He was expecting you to say up again.
Mm-hmm. Still doesn't help me, but thank you.
So five of the planets will be visible to the naked eye.
Okay.
Uranus is not included. Mm. Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. Mars will appear reddish, as it always does, and high in the southern sky near the Gemini constellation. Jupiter will be just a bit lower. Venus will appear as the brightest planet in the lineup, and Mercury will be near the constellation Aquarius, closest to the sun, and just above the western horizon.
You know, I will say this. The one time I got up very, very early to watch the sunrise in Manhattan when you get away from the light pollution and the noise pollution, the stars are amazing.
Yeah,
I've seen it in other cities in Colorado and other places that are, you know, I think that was one of the most stunning sunrises I have ever seen. And not that we don't have them here. Like last night, the sunset was incredible.
What city was this?
I was in Manhattan visiting my son a few months ago. It was like on fire, but they don't have the noise or the
light pollution
that we do here. And so I'm wondering, even here, if you look up south or wherever you're supposed to look to see these things tomorrow night, will you be able to see it as well if you're in the city?
Probably not.
Well, it was just like when the Aurora Borealis was going through, Dan, what was that storm called?
The Aurora?
No, there was some like...
Oh, the geomagnetic storm?
Yeah, thank you.
Meteor shower thing.
And when that storm was launching the Aurora Borealis down far enough that we could see it, we couldn't see it with our eyes, but if you held your cell phone up, your cell phone camera could pick it up.
Remember Grayson could see it?
Weird. A haze in the sky because of all the dirt and light pollution here.
Remember John Grayson could see it? He was in Buffalo. Do you remember? We had him call in. He could see it there. We couldn't see it here. It's because he was higher than we were.
Well, he was more north. Latitudinally.
I'm getting out of here. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ. As you all know, tax season is well underway. This is from CBS MarketWatch. Early data on the average tax refund shows that Americans are receiving about a third less than they did last year. This is just on the early data. The average refund check this year stands at $2,169, or 32% below the average last year of $3,207. I don't know why. The numbers do not necessarily mean that individual taxpayers will get a smaller refund. Experts note refunds are typically smaller at the start of the tax season because low and middle income workers with more simple tax returns are often the first to file.
Okay. Somebody scratched the record there.
This was within the last hour, but I'm just passing it along for our Lawrence friends. Drivers are being warned to avoid the area of Highway 59 in North Lawrence. Roadway remains closed while crews respond to a crash. This is according to the Lawrence Police Department. They are trying to divert traffic, but they are warning drivers, please avoid the area if at all possible, as traffic will be, quote, significantly interrupted for the next several hours. Highway Patrol is leading the investigation. No more details on what's going on. We could look that up on, would Scout have that, Sam? It's 59 Highway in North Lawrence.
No.
FYI, if your travels take you that way, avoid.
Mm. All right. Tell the people about the CBS story regarding the NFL.
Yeah. I thought we were already doing this, but maybe not in the regular season. And so we asked Sam to help us out with this. CBS Sports is reporting that the NFL is considering a new or adjusted rule for next season where both teams in overtime would have the ability to at least try and score during the regular season. And how is that different than what we're doing now, Sam?
So currently in the NFL, if it goes to overtime, there is a coin toss, just like at the beginning of the game. The winner of the coin toss then gets to choose to either defer to the second portion of overtime or receive the ball first.
You receive the ball first.
In every situation, you should be receiving the ball first. We saw it happen
in the Super Bowl.
No. With the Super Bowl against the 49ers, yes, where they chose to defer, and the coach was like, well, I didn't know the rule. Well, you have to know the rule, man.
And Patrick Mahomes, you hear him on NFL films run over to Coach Reed and say, I don't know. They just defer. Yeah. We got the ball.
Very confusing. But the way that it works is if you win that coin toss, you have the first crack at overtime. If you get a field goal, the other team then gets a chance to score a touchdown or a field goal to tie it up to go to second overtime. If you receive the ball first in overtime and you score a touchdown,
game's over.
The game is over.
Yeah. Okay.
So what they're seeing is, first of all, a number of games more than previous years, whatever the percentage is, it has jumped. They're seeing more games going to overtime. And what they don't like about that is because if you're the receiving team in overtime, almost 60% of the time, that receiving team wins the game.
It comes down to the coin toss.
I remember screaming
about this years ago when it bit us. I think it was the year before we won the Super Bowl, wasn't it? it bit us. We lost the coin toss, and there was nothing we could do.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a playoff game or regular season. Here's what's going to happen now. The team that wins the coin toss is going to defer every single time because you want to know what do we got to put up on the board.
Yeah, and if they're going to get a touchdown, are they going to go for the two-point conversion? Right. But it does make it more interesting because it gives both teams the opportunity. When you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, we saw it with the Chiefs against the Bills in 2022. When you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, and you can almost guarantee with the play scheme from Andy Reid that they're going to find a way to get that ball into the end zone. If they win the coin toss, the game is over. And at that point, there's no point in playing it out.
You see, and I wish this will never happen. The NFL Players Association would never allow it to happen. I wish they would go to a college football format.
Where, we can talk about that one.
Where, you know, you can go into six overtimes if each team keeps scoring the same amount of points, but the players are never going to go for that.
So in college football, they start the ball on they do it on the same side of the field. They don't even switch side of the field, right. But they pick a 35-yard line. You have to get the ball 35 yards. You can either give up and kick a field goal because you got to fourth down and you're not confident with that fourth down conversion, or you score a touchdown. And as you mentioned, that can go back and forth all the way to.
And it does. And I guess the NFL could go back.
Seven OT.
No, I think everyone should get the chance. I really do too.
I do too. I think this is much more fair. But back to my original point, this is going to change the way the team that wins the toss, how they handle it. They are more likely than not going to pick the side of the field that they want, especially in an outdoor game where the conditions might be more favorable for them. They're going to say, we want this side of the field and we defer.
And also, I looked further into it. They did make this change last year for the playoffs. So we didn't have a playoff game going to overtime this year, so we didn't see it play out.
Okay.
But they did change the rules last year. So if it is a playoff game, both teams get a shot no matter what. Now, I don't support bringing in the college rule of starting on the 35-yard line. That's
why? It makes it more challenging.
I want them to kick it off and do the full thing.
Oh, the way that they kick off in the NFL nowadays?
Well, yeah,
no
I,
thanks.
I hate the NFL kickoff.
No thanks.
They're going to change that, too. They're going to change that, too.
That is so lame.
You know they're going to change that, too. Because every single time it came back to the 30, yes, I know that. Every single time.
I don't think they're going to change it, though, because their statistics for the number of injuries on special teams plays dropped substantially.
Then why
year.
Even kick it off? Just start them at the 30.
I agree.
There's absolutely no reason to kick off.
I'd say start them at the 25.
Okay, fine.
So,
oh, sorry. From the text line, we messed it up, the 49ers and the Chiefs. They did take the ball first, but they kicked the field goal.
I don't remember.
No, there was – it may not have been in the Super Bowl. There was a game. It might have been a playoff game because I distinctly remember Patrick Mahomes running to the sideline and telling Andy Reid, we've got the ball.
Yeah.
They deferred. I can't believe it. And Andy's like, all right, well, let's go, boys.
Let's go.
You know, there was a game because I distinctly remember seeing that video. When we get back, there is a graduated student, high school student in Connecticut, who is suing her school district. How dare you let me graduate when I don't have the ability to read or to write?
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Then how did she notify them?
How did she write it down?
I'm sure her lawyer wrote it. She claims that she can't read. She claims that she can't write. And she claims the Hartford School District in Connecticut let her graduate anyway. And she is suing them. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
A flawless record. A story here from Hartford, Connecticut, where a public schools graduate is taking legal action against the city, the Board of Education, and one of her special education teachers in Hartford. Alicia Ortiz claims that she asked for educational resources and support for years, but that help, she says, never came. Instead, she was able to graduate without being able to read or write. Says Alicia, my time in Hartford Public Schools was a time that I don't wish upon anyone. Her family moved here from Puerto Rico to Connecticut. She became a student in the public school system in the first grade. She struggled with a speech impediment, dyslexia, ADHD, and initially a language barrier. Every first day of school, Ortiz tells News Nation, I would tell the teacher, I cannot read, I cannot write, so please be patient for me. So everyone knew. Ortiz says she was bullied, harassed, and neglected. Ortiz quoting here, I would cry knowing the people who had big titles knew this was happening and no one stepped up to do something about it.
Let me ask you something. Is it possible that for some students, the window of that learning, so let's say you can't read or write in first grade or second grade, now you're into third grade, where there's a tipping point that because you did not or were not being taught effectively the first 5 years or 7 years, name your number, it is almost impossible in real time in the sixth grade or seventh grade while you're still trying to learn to catch up. And then in those cases, is it not better to, you know, not necessarily have an IEP, but go a different route? Because by the time you reach what grade, pick your grade, and you don't know how to read or write, it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder, and the catch up.
No, I see what you're saying.
You know, space.
Yeah.
It just gets wider and wider and wider. So you know, once you're in ninth grade or tenth grade, you're not going to be able to keep up. Now, why they kept passing her, but you also can't have a 26-year-old in fifth grade either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Billy Madison.
What do you do?
With Adam Sandler. He had to go back to elementary school.
That was a documentary.
I know.
Like, at what age, let me ask it a different way. At what age do you have to step in and catch that before it's too late and there is no coming back?
Well, clearly, catching it earlier would have been better.
It ain't high school.
You know, they've always said it is harder for an adult to learn a foreign language than it is a young child to learn a foreign language, one that is not spoken in their home. But she did come here in the first grade. Now, she also claims in this lawsuit that she has, among other things, dyslexia and ADHD. Let's take her at her word.
Okay.
And let's say she's telling the truth, okay? At some point then, if that is the truth, somebody in that school district failed her. Now, I can also hear people in their car screaming, she has personal responsibility here as well,
and so parents.
Do her parents.
Parents at a young age, yes. Yeah.
And her parents have an obligation to make sure that she is getting the educational assistance that she needs, especially in those elementary school years. If she's coming home with homework and she's not able to even read the most simple passage in one of her textbooks.
Do you pull her?
Well,
I would argue at some point.
You can't pull your kid out of school.
You have to.
And do what with them?
What good is it going to do sitting in class where you are so far behind? It's not possible for that human brain to catch up. You have to stop the bleeding.
If she didn't speak English, why do we think her parents spoke English?
That's a great point, Sam.
If all of the correspondence was in English, how are they supposed to know that something is wrong
great
and
point.
That they need to step up and try to figure out the issue before it gets too far?
Now, she did later obviously learn English, maybe not how to read or write it, but she learned how to speak it,
sure.
Because she even claims in the lawsuit, initially, there was a language barrier. I infer from that 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 language barrier was crossed at some point in her academic career. But, you know, if she's telling the truth, there is a clear indication that the system broke and let her down. But I do think her parents have a responsibility, because, you know, okay, my kid is doing their homework and she's those are not the letters on the page. Even if you speak a different language, you know, we all use the same letters on this side of the hemisphere, and she's not reading that word. That's just not the letters. 913-586-7798. And what does she do now?
Night school.
Go to some learning center?
Yep. You go to a learning center, you go to night school. Yes.
Well, but keep in mind, we've had the studies in the past that, what was it, 40% of Americans lack functional, not 40, I don't remember what the number
I'll
was.
I'll look it up, the illiteracy rate of adults.
It was a shockingly high number.
Yeah, there's that can't read over an 8th grade level or a 6th grade level or
they
something.
They lack functional literacy.
Yeah.
Meaning when they go to a restaurant and they sit down with the menu, they're not looking at the words to see what's in that dish, they're looking at the pictures.
And I would love to hear from some of our educators out there. You know, and you don't have to use your real name. We're fine with that.
At what grade is it? I don't want to say is it the point of no return, but do you have to just hit pause? And whether that's, it would be akin, Scott, to someone dumping me in France and saying, sit in this classroom for multiple years and try to figure out algebra, or in a foreign language, try to figure out chemistry, or, you know.
It would be hard.
It would be, dare I say, it would be impossible.
Yeah. And for the educators in the audience, are you aware, maybe you never did this, but are you aware of students in other classes who were elevated to the next grade level that had absolutely no business going to the next grade level? Do they still flunk kids in America?
By the way, it's just under 30% are functionally illiterate.
Which means you could not read the Wall Street Journal.
No, but they are also some of the most think outside the box, crafty. What is the word I'm looking for?
Adaptive?
Very adaptive, because, you know, you've got that menu in front of you and the waitress comes over and says, what do you want?
And here's what I would do. If I could not read the menu, I'd say, oh, please take her order first. And then I would say, oh, that sounds good. I'll have what you're having.
Yep.
That sounds really good.
They can think very, very quick on their feet because of it.
Roger in Paola. Hello, Roger.
Hey there. Thanks for your show. I appreciate it. I have a daughter who works as a military recruiter in the area around Franklin and Miami County. And I hear every week about the people that graduate from the high schools in this area that cannot read or write and can't pass a test to get into the Army, doing the most lowest level of job in the Army. So it seems prevalent, and the indication is that the high schools pass people and graduate them because it reflects on their numbers. So that's my comment.
Okay, Roger, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Ray in one of the Shawnees. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I have taught at-risk youth for pretty much my whole career. I was a KC Mo. I taught in KCK. And it gets crazier than that, because I teach at a juvenile detention center right now where they're going through court. And we get kids from all over, okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll get...
Oh, no.
Get their transcript. And, oh, they're in geometry. They can't add. How'd they pass Algebra 1?
Yeah.
But it's on there. I had a kid came to me, had a...
Ray, I think we're losing you, but I'm going to see if you can't get to higher ground, and we'll come back to you, because I want to hear the rest of what you have to say, my friend. Serena in North Kansas City, I believe. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Love your show.
Thank you. It's yours.
First
go ahead.
Caller.
Yeah, you bet.
I am a recently retired teacher, and I'm not going to say where I taught, because I think that's irrelevant, because I think this happens everywhere today. We do not fail kids. There are most teachers that I know have a problem with that. We cannot give zeros for work that is totally undone. We just don't fail kids. You know, for a long time, they didn't pass kids because of the social ramifications. And I understand that. But at some point, you know, where do we hold these kids accountable for being able to read and write?
Is it an unwritten, you said you're retired, right?
Just retired at the end of last year.
Okay, so you can pretty much say anything you want and we're going to believe you.
Yeah.
Is it an unwritten policy in many school districts that you do not flunk kids? You just don't do it? Or is it actually written down?
It's written policy in many school districts.
It is a written policy that kids cannot and will not be flunked.
Okay. Let me rephrase. You cannot give a kid a zero. They can turn in a blank piece of paper. You cannot give them less than a 50%. Can they fail, therefore? Yes, they can do nothing all year long and get a 50%, which is an F, but it's not going... In my 30 years of teaching, am not sure I ever hardly met a kid who had been held back a year. I mean, they just, like I said, Wow. They used to not do it for social reasons,
Yeah. You
know, for the socialization of kids.
Well, I'll tell you this, Serena, because we're coming up on the break. Dana and I are from a generation that there was always one kid in school
held back
who had a beard and a mustache in the freshman year.
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about.
Or sooner.
Yeah.
There was always, grade sometimes takes three tries.
Yeah, there was always that one kid who was just shy of being able to buy beer senior year.
I do believe that it was walked back, but Kansas City Public Schools, we talked about it last year, passed a no-zero policy.
And they would give them a 50%, I believe, or a 40%. It was one of the two.
That is correct.
For just turning in, well, you didn't even have to turn anything in.
Nope.
You didn't have to turn in a blank piece of paper.
Never even show
up. Do you remember
the
red pen? Oh, the red pen. I don't like the red pen. To this day, I don't like the red pen.
If you got a piece of paper, if you got your homework assignment returned with red marks on it.
Blood all over it.
That was your degree bleeding out because you're going to be doing 12th grade again. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. We'll grab a couple more calls after this here on KMBZ. Hey, don't forget tomorrow at 5 o'clock. It is Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. We're reporting on this story out of Connecticut, where a recent graduate of the Hartford School District is suing not only the city of Hartford, but the school district because she claims she graduated and cannot read or write. Cannot read or write a thing. Now, her family did come from Puerto Rico, so their first language is Spanish. But she arrived in Connecticut in the first grade. And for whatever reason, was moved from first to second. You know the drill. And we just had Serena on who just retired from teaching after 30-something years, who said it is a policy. You cannot flunk kids anymore.
But there's a difference between a policy that says you can't flunk kids and a system where at some point in the third grade or the fifth grade, or someone has to step in. I don't know. And that should be parents. It should be
educators.
It takes a village.
Sure.
Steps in and says, okay, this is not working. We need to go in a different direction. What does that look like for this child?
Let's get back to Ray in Shawnee, and hopefully he's gotten to higher ground. Ray, hello.
Yeah, hopefully this works now. Yeah, it drives me crazy. I have never experienced where they say I can't flunk a kid, but the best thing about where I work right now is how small our class sizes are. And so, like I said, I have a kid who's enrolled in geometry. I don't know how he got there, but he can't add. He can't do, there's no possible way he passed algebra. I don't know how that happened. But with only four kids in my room, I can literally sit down with him and one-on-one work with him one-on-one, you know, 15 minutes twice a day and start catching up. But if you can't do stuff like that, if you got a kid who can't read and you don't have somebody to literally sit there and read with them, it's one of those things where obviously, as you said earlier, the system failed them. And when you fail, you make upon the school district, it makes it harder for them down the road. So the best thing is don't fail.
Well, that's true. I mean, that would be the preference, right? Is that they don't fail, but You know, there could be any number of reasons why kids fail. They don't care. They have some sort of learning.
I'm talking about the school system.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, I got you.
The kid can fail because there's all sorts of reasons. Yeah, but if we just give them a grade, move them on. That is unconscionable. That's just no.
Ray, answer my question. At what age is it too late to turn that ship around?
It is never too late as long as the kid is willing to work. The only time I've ever flunked kids in math is because they have literally refused to work with me. Huh. Because I can, like I said, with a small class size, I can sit there and explain it to you some way you can understand. Oh, positive and negative numbers. Do you want to talk about money, elevators, gang members? How do you want to do this?
Yeah.
I'll find a way if you'd understand it, unless you literally won't even look at the paper and won't try.
We need more of you, Ray.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Tim in Kansas City, you get the last word. Hello.
Okay, I am one of them students. I got a fifth grade reading level. I'm 41 years old. And my parent, we only had one parent, so he worked all the time, so he couldn't really help me. They moved me from the sixth grade to the seventh grade because I was a year older than everybody else. And instead of helping me learn how to read, you know how I learned how to read? A cell phone.
Is that right?
That's what, yeah, that's what taught me. A cell phone, because I had to text people, and that's how I learned how to spell and read.
I'll be darned.
And I can't read that well, but I can, I mean, I can read a little bit. I know enough to, you know better, but that's what taught me was a cell phone when they first came out.
Tim, thanks for the honesty, man.
Yep.
Appreciate it. As we wrap up, you do the same. Thank you, sir. As we wrap up tonight, today is Fat Thursday. This is the Thursday before Ash Wednesday, which makes it Fat Thursday on the Christian calendar. It's a bigger deal in Europe than it is over here in the United States. It's also National Retro Day. Okay.
And I do that every day.
I know you do. I was just...
Somebody... Or as Scott calls it, Monday through Sunday.
Celebrating birthdays today, Josh Groban is 44. Neil Sean, the guitarist from Journey, only original member left, is 71. And Adam Baldwin is 63. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good. We'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.